334 or radiocab.net.
Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording?
This year marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of a great American writer, that chronicler of madness, William S. Burroughs. Tune into KABU this Friday night beginning at 8 p.m. for a Spring Pledge Drive special, 4-hour tribute to the life and work of William S. Burroughs. Join DJs Rich of Radio Lost and Found, Jim Lawrence of No Soap Radio, and Daniel, host of The Outside World, for a special collaboration, chock full of the world of William S. Burroughs, including biographical stories, cut-ups, and random surprises in the collage style that Burroughs himself became known for pioneering. That's this Friday night from 8 p.m. till midnight, a special 100th anniversary tribute to William S. Burroughs, here on Community Inner Zone Radio, KBOO Portland.
Whatever you feed into the machine on subliminal level, the machine will process.
KABU at the Clinton every second Thursday at 7 p.m. This month, KABU is proud to show the documentary Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? The film is an alternative look at the global bee crisis. Before the film will be a short discussion with bee experts on how to help save the bees. That's Thursday, May 8th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
A secretive government had a secret operation, massacring villages, killing millions, secretly bombing an entire nation. They wiretapped a hotel room. They got caught and the government was deposed because of secret documents Daniel Ellsberg exposed. One government came down, and to prevent a repetition of this fact, the next government passed the Freedom of Information Act. Each administration since then hoped it would go away, and then they finally seized the chance on a September day. They passed the Patriot Act before a single congressman had read it, but don't ask the executive how they interpret it, because that itself is secret, never to be revealed, just like their secret prisons and all the torture sessions they concealed. Then they formed the prison program so they wouldn't even have to ask compliant corporations to assist them in the task of collecting information. Every email you ever wrote, every book you ever read, every call you ever made, everything you ever said. I looked into a prism. What did I see? A police state looking back at me. The secret government men lied to congressional committees. Secret information even a senator can't see. Secret bureaucrats working with secret corporations, enforcing secret laws, forming secret juries to serve a secret cause. I looked into a prism. What did I see? A police state looking back at me. One brave man came forward and then he fled town. And now the secret government men mean to hunt him down. Feinstein says he's a traitor. McConnell said so too. But I'd say if we have a future, it's because of the whistle that he blew. I looked into a prism. What did I see? A police state looking back at me. I looked into a prism. What did I see? A police state looking back at me.
Good evening, Planet KABU. We're glad to have you alongside us on board this evening as we venture into some of the deeper, darker orbits of news and public affairs. It, in many ways, this is, we're on the front lines right now of the last chance to save what's left of our privacy. One piece of good news is that the free software movement is much more flexible It is faster. It adapts more quickly to changes in the internet environment, the online environment. It has managed in many cases, in many ways, though it's too complex to really nail to the wall, but in many ways and forms has stayed a few steps ahead of the NSA, sometimes in front, sometimes behind, sometimes off to the side. There are new developments all the time. Most recently, in the aftermath of the Hotbleed fiasco, there is a movement on the part of the tech giants. This is a huge meeting of minds in many ways. The tech giants such as Amazon and IBM are supporting mission critical open source or free software, as we like to call it, development with this idea, the Core Infrastructure Initiative, which we're going to be asking someone who really knows whereof they're talking about in just a moment. In 1983, Richard Stallman announced his plan to develop a complete free operating system, with the emphasis on the word free operating system. This, of course, we know today as GNU. GNU. It's a system that millions of people use and often refer to as Linux. It's a variant of as a variant of the GNU system. Richard Stallman joins us by phone from Taiwan, where he is speaking in Hsinchu City, I believe, on a free digital society. And that is exactly what we want to talk about here today. Richard, good morning to you. It's, I believe, 8:30 in the morning where you are. Thank you so much.
It's about 9. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Great. We are very, very happy to have you join us. No other voice could be more appropriate than yours to first bring listeners up to speed on what a free digital society looks like and where we stand right now in the free software movement, which is what we prefer to call.
I'd like to correct a few minor points. First of all, I'm giving 4 speeches in Taiwan, and if you happen to know someone in Taiwan, they can look at fsf.org and see the details of when and where. Second, the free software movement is not flexible at all. Our principles, we stand for freedom for the users. We don't bend them. However, free software is sometimes flexible because it's under the control of the users. And the users can make it do what the users want it to do. Whereas with non-free software, the program controls the users. The users are not permitted to make the software do what they want, because instead there's an owner that controls it. And the program does what the owner wants, whether the users like it or not. And the only way the users can change what it does to them is stop using it.
Well, how many people are unaware of that? They happily buy stuff on Amazon and whatnot all the time.
Well, actually, Amazon's not a program. Amazon's a company. Now, it's a company that abuses people all around, including its own workers and the National Treasury and the readers, if you read Amazon e-books. So for details of that, look at stallman.org/amazon.html. I've never bought anything from Amazon, and I hope nobody else will buy from them either. But I'm happy for our community to accept their money, or anybody's money, for improving useful free software. The initiative, people have probably heard about the Hotbleed bug. There are bugs in free software sometimes. We don't guarantee perfection. You know, we respect users' freedom, but that doesn't mean we never make mistakes. So, of course, there are bugs in free software. Any non-trivial program has bugs. There are bugs in proprietary software, and the users are not allowed to fix them.
Hang on, we've got a pitch break coming up. Richard, stay with us. We've got a break for the membership drive. Please don't hang up. Please stay with us. That's a great place to bounce to membership, because we're here to raise a little bit of money. It is free radio. That's the thing, that and listeners are free to support it. or not, as they choose. We are here to encourage listeners to support free radio, because the thing about radio is you never know who is listening, where the signal lands, how lives are changed, how minds can be opened by free radio. But in order to have free radio, we need your support, and we only have that support if you call that number, 1-877-500-5266. But we've got other people who are there ready to tell you more about how to do it and how critical it is right now. And Richard, please do hang on, stay with us. Be back in a moment.
Yes, it's very easy. You just call 877-500-5266. That is a toll-free number. 877-500-5266. And you can give us a credit card over the phone, or you can just make a pledge and we'll send you a thing and pay us later. You do a $20 or $10 a month out of your checking account, or a debit card or credit card. But it's very easy to do, and you need to do this, because this is how we keep running. It's
We're
on
very
your
flexible.
Support. On your support and your contributions.
Yeah. So I'm Larry, and
I'm Rolf, and we're here trying to get you to help us out here. 1-877-500-5266. Or you can donate online at kboo.fm and donate now.
We have all those different ways that you can donate. It's easy. If you donate as little as $5 a month from your bank account, that would be like $60 a year. And that's a very small amount that's easy to do. If you care about KBOO as much as I do, I encourage you to consider making a donation. This is a tremendous resource for the city of Portland that does immense good, I think, for the city of Portland by getting information out there that the mainstream media don't really care about at all.
Yeah. And if you're concerned about internet security, we have for $75 this flash drive that contains a folder of open source software, your internet security toolkit. And it's got a great way to keep your all your computers safe from the internet. And it even has a bunch of an added bonus. This USB flash drive has a bunch of other talk show talk stuff and audio files of
lectures.
You can listen to it, but the main reason to get it would be for the open source software, the internet security toolkit, the Tor browser, where you can browse websites anonymously and all this stuff.
And we'd be happy to send you that if you make that goes with a
$75 donation.
And when you do that, you ask us for the flash drive and we will send it to you.
877-500-5266. It doesn't happen unless you make that call, so please give us a call. Do it now. We got people waiting for your phone.
That's right. So we've got lots of ways you can pay, and we are, you can pay by, you can pay online, you can call us at 877-500-5266, and you can pay any way you like. We can take credit card or from your bank account, or, you can send a check.
$40, $60, but call now, 877-500-5266, as we go back to our special on internet security.
This is definitely not something that people hear, and you're not, and unless you're in Taiwan, you stand little chance of hearing Richard Stallman's voice. Good morning.
Good
morning. Hi, Richard, are you there?
I have trouble hearing you and them.
Okay.
Their voice is in the background.
Yeah, that's
are
over.
Are they still on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air now. We're back on. I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about what exactly, clarify for people. I did misspeak. Amazon, not software, but very much controlling users' behaviors. Getting back to what you were speaking about, how software that is not part of the free software movement does, in fact, control people, and where that has actually taken us, and how the free software movement is taking us back out of that sort of bondage, that cyber bondage,
okay,
to a free digital society.
There's going to be little time, so if you can give me time to respond, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
basically, if you want to see the nasty ways that proprietary software is designed to mistreat people, I'm talking about intentional malicious functionalities, look at gnu.org/philosophy/proprietary.html. Now it lists dozens of examples of widely used proprietary programs from sometimes from companies like Microsoft and Apple and Oracle that are designed to mistreat people, and others from companies that are less well known. But you've got to expect, if it's proprietary software nowadays, the developer knows it has power over the users and is constantly looking for how to gain advantage by using that power to further push the users down. So proprietary software, software for suckers. And this is just a consequence, though, of the fundamental issue of freedom. Do you control your computing, or does the software control you? But I want to say something about free software and open source, because I was very disappointed that the people asking for contributions for your station were talking about open source software. And they probably didn't realize that they're supporting the corporate-friendly depoliticization and co-optation campaign that was launched in 1998 by people in the free software community who were shocked by the things we said. We were saying that a widely used business model was an injustice, that it was wrong, that it should be stopped, and that we should refuse to be subjugated by it, we should refuse to fund it or by buying from them, we should just get out and protect our freedom. They didn't want anyone to talk about freedom, so they coined a term, open source, that doesn't even hint at the idea that this is a matter of right and wrong. And they get support from lots of people who don't even know that they're helping this, because most people have heard their term. Most, I suppose, that the people asking for membership support for the radio station never heard that there was a difference between freedom, respecting free software, and open source. They just heard that open source is sort of nice, and so they're trying to support that term. And they're not supporting us and our ideas of freedom. Maybe you can ask them to please do so.
Oh, we will. We will. But that's why you're on. That's why you're on the show. That's why I wanted you to have you here tonight, because this is so important to understand. We talk about environmental justice and economic justice. Like, let's talk about justice on the internet. Let's talk about exactly what you're talking about. This is a question of basic ethics and morality and the way that one behaves.
And it relates to the Heartbleed bug directly. You see, the open source people, because they didn't want to say, stand up for your freedom, reject user subjugating programs, they had to say something else. So they came up with the argument that with free software, although they weren't calling it that, the users would fix the bugs. They would find the problems more faster, and people would be allowed to fix them so that the software would be more reliable. And they argued only for that. Well, that may be a side benefit. And, of course, if a proprietary program had had the Heartbleed bug, nobody but the owner would ever have been allowed to fix it. But what you see is free software is not perfect. We have users helping to find and fix bugs, but still there are bugs. And occasionally there's even a really gross bug that causes a lot of harm, because nobody's perfect. You can't avoid it. So we really need to make the arguments that are strongest, the arguments that about the things we offer that proprietary software never even tries to offer. Anyway, it's a good thing that the Heartbleed bug convinced various companies to put funds into explicit maintenance of that particular piece of software and made of free software and maybe some other pieces of free software. It's true that the people who were developing it were just basically on a shoestring, and they did a pretty good job, that being so, but it'll be really good to get them a lot of help.
This is, we're talking then about the Core Infrastructure Initiative. Is that what you're referring to?
Actually, I don't remember their name, but I think you're right.
That's a consortium of some of the big guys, Amazon, IBM, Intel, joined forces with the Linux Foundation, sorry to use the word I know, but to form the Core Infrastructure Initiative. Apparently, Steve Marques, the OpenSSL Software Foundation president, and after the Heartbleed security hole was revealed, that OpenSSL had never received enough funding to properly sustain what it was going to, the level of work on the part of developers needed to support such a complex and critical software product. Given that there are resources available now, how does that change the game board?
Well, it may, because we can certainly use this support. We'd like to make software. Everyone working on free software would like to make it work well and have no errors. But that's easier said than done. And any system that funnels in money to help people do that, it's going to make our software better. And, for me, the core goal is freedom, but in order for software to give us freedom in an effective way, it also has to work right.
On to that thought for just a moment. We have to take another break and go out. We're going to remind everyone out there, listeners as well as volunteers in the membership room, before you use the words open source and before you use the words Linux, Philip, remember to find out. We very often, not just in this field, not just in this realm, but in so many other realms, we fall prey to euphemisms that are easier to employ if we don't know what they really mean. So one of the purposes of this program is to open people's eyes and minds to what we are talking about when we use some of these terms. One thing that you can be very clear about and take great pride, joy, exhilaration, and inspiration is membership in a station like this that is out there on the front lines doing the heavy lifting, doing what it really takes. It is becoming a member of KBOO is a great deal more than taking a step in other sorts of directions. There's memberships and there's memberships, but very much like the free software movement itself, membership in this station is different. And it gets a lot more done. We've got people out there ready to talk to you right now, tell you how you can make a huge difference in your life, in the life of your community, and in the lives of untold numbers of total strangers out there who may be touched by what you are doing when you become a member and you become part of this great experiment. We've got, Larry Andrews,
yes.
and is it Rolf with
yeah.
us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, let's talk a bit about how people could become a member right now and how they can also, in the process, protect their own digital, their own online privacy.
877-500-5266. That is the telephone number you call to become a member. You can also go online at kboo.fm, and you need to do this because it's your help, your support that keeps us going. I'd like to thank the restaurants who contributed food to keep our volunteers fortified today. We got Voodoo Donuts at 22 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Paradox Cafe at 3439 Southeast Belmont, and Porcelli's Ristorante and Bar at 6500 Southwest Virginia Avenue. These restaurants have helped us out. They've stepped up to contribute what they can do to keep KBOO going, because they know that KBOO is a valuable asset to this community, to the Portland area. And so they are doing their part. Now it's your turn. 877 877- 500-5266. Isn't that right, Larry?
Yeah, and you can, if you phone up, you can donate any amount you like. Small amounts are really okay, too. And we take money through any means you can imagine. You know, credit card, directly through your bank account. You can send us a check. Some people show up here.
Yeah,
and
show up in person with a big bag of pennies or nickels.
Give
and
us
stuff.
Cash, and we are happy for that. And we will take you around the station and give you coffee, and that's fun. And we're happy for that too. Everything, all of those are different possibilities, and we are grateful for all of that. I consider KABU a tremendous resource for the city of Portland. I mean, like, this program we're listening to right now is not something you're likely to get from the mainstream media. We're hearing opinions and information that they're not especially interested in getting out there to you. And there's so much more that KABU does also. All the political programming we have, all the left-wing opinions you can hear, and the incredible music scene that we have here in that we have here at this station. I mean, there's a lot here that you will not get anywhere else. KABU really is a tremendous resource for the city of Portland. I mean, I consider the people of Portland that I meet generally really quite sophisticated in that they know, they understand the forces that control their lives much better than people in some other cities I've lived in. And I think one reason, among many, is that KABU is there enlightening the people of Portland in some ways, because we have all this information we give out that you don't get elsewhere, and it makes the people here sort of more knowledgeable and sort of more critical of the powers that be. And I think that's great. And for that reason, I support KABU tremendously.
Yeah, me too.
So let's give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go to our website, kboo.fm. That's 877-500-5266. Please consider calling up if you're able to and make a little donation. Thank you.
All right, and we're going to go back.
Richard, if you're still there, I'm glad to have you on board. I want to, we've just given people a lot of information.
So
can you give our listeners...
Cyber Party, yeah.
Cyber Party.
Can you give, Richard?
Yeah, Cyber Party.
I'm here, but I'm
great.
Here.
I know there's people in the background.
In your office.
Yeah, I know. Problem with the microphones. The Free Software Movement has amazing. Your own personal web page is extraordinary, and something I encourage listeners to follow, because it's not just software information. It's a great deal of politics that important to be on top of. But Richard, can you give our listeners the website to go to find out exactly what it is that we're talking about when you talk about Free Software Movement, and why it's important to use those terms and understand them?
Look at GNU.org. That's GNU.org. And there's also the Free Software Foundation's website, which is FSF.org. And there we have various resources. We also have the political campaigns that you can sign or help. And we also have our shop, and you can become a member and support our work. But if you want to help the free software movement more broadly, look at GNU.org/help, which lists various different ways of contributing, some with money, some with time. There's also my own site, which is Stallman.org, where I do things that are outside the free software movement, outside that issue.
And they're fun. Richard, I want to thank you so much for your time. You're amazingly generous, and I'm honored to have you on the KBOO airwaves. We're in the middle of membership drive, and it is sometimes a balancing act getting these things to happen at all, which is the amazing and remarkable and wonderful thing about this type of radio, which really cannot exist without support from membership. So thank you so much. We're going to go now to a couple other guests. We've got Thomas Schreiber, and we've got John Bartley. Thomas Schreiber, of course, is an internet activist, privacy activist, and who organizes Cyber parties. We can learn how to protect your privacy. Hands-on basic information makes it easy and not intimidating. John Bartley is also joining us. He's also a volunteer. He's with, of course, Free Geek, an amazing local resource. And when I say local, I do mean local. You can walk down the street and visit Free Geek. So we've got the two additional voices joining us on by phone right now. John, we've got Thomas on the line. Hi, Thomas. Thanks so much for being with us. Delighted to have you. Hope we can take a call or two from listeners about cyber parties, about encryption and decryption. Because without this free software movement underlying everything, we encryption and decryption would not work as well as they do work, and they work probably better than you imagine. Would you talk a little bit about what is involved in encryption and decryption for the average person who may not know much about it, be a bit intimidated, but nonetheless is keen on protecting their privacy?
Sure. Just a quick correction first. It's crypto party, not cyber party.
Crypto, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I think it's very important for people to understand how encryption is used. And a lot of people might not know that they're using encryption every day. When you go on the internet and you log into your bank account and you see that little lock up in the corner of the URL bar in your internet browser, that's actually using encryption to talk to your bank. So that way, if anyone's trying to snoop on what you're doing on the way, hopefully they won't be able to read that, and only you and your bank will be able to see what's going on. There's other apps that are built on top of GNU software as well, and the free software and open source software that also allow people to encrypt all sorts of messages they might have. So, for example, their email is a very common one. Another one is just all of their internet traffic. There's other tools that can help you with messaging to encrypt, and all of those are available free of charge through both free software applications and open source applications.
So where do people start? Let's say someone comes into KABU as a volunteer in their newsroom and starts doing some investigative reporting. Then they would rather not have outside agencies taking a look at some of the things they might be finding. What would be the first steps? How do you start people out at the crypto parties? Where do we go first?
I usually recommend people start with the Onion Router or the Tor project, as it's otherwise known. It's very easy to set up, and that kind of meets one of the expectations of privacy we have, which is to be able to be anonymous. It's very hard to be anonymous in many places in the world, especially when you're being surveilled all the time. So the ability to be able to look things up and to send messages anonymously can be very powerful, especially if you're in a very repressed area and you're a journalist and you're trying to get information out. The Tor project can help you get those messages out of that area without anyone being able to know exactly who is sending that message.
And since we're at this point in the show, it might be a good time to give listeners the number to call to get the air room. If you have a question for Thomas Schreiber and you'd like to ask somebody that knows a great deal about this then can sort things out for you, the number to call if you want to get involved in this conversation is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. John, first of all, let's clarify. Do we have John Bartley with Free Geek, or do we have John, a listener who's calling in with a question?
John Bartley.
Thank you. Just to clarify, because we are at this point in the show opening the phone lines for listeners to call in, and either one of you, so we've got two voices here. Hopefully listeners can tell you apart, or when you speak, do please identify so we keep the conversation somewhat clarified. Thomas Schreiber, John Bartley with Free Geek is with us, the two people who know a great deal about this, and we want to talk more about hands-on when we talk about privacy, online privacy, and we get concerned about the NSA and so very, very many other agencies that are taking a look. Metadata, I'm telling you, they can pinpoint exactly where you are, who you've been speaking to, what you've been up to with deadly accuracy, and I do not exaggerate when I use that term, deadly accuracy. It's exactly what it is. It's they're like cyber drones, as it were, watching what you're up, what is up to. If that gives you an uncomfortable feeling, then you need to listen to this. And what a terrible thing to say. No, you might want to listen to this, because this is a glimmer of light on a long, dark crypto tunnel. It is not as intimidating as you might think. Thomas Schreiber and John Bartley are there to walk you straight through the whole process. It starts on the ground. It starts with you as the individual taking action, making a move, just like with Kabu, really, to protect your privacy. Because if we just throw in the towel and say, they know everything, so what the hell? That is exactly how we end up in a complete police state. This is taking actual real steps towards conquering that. And if we don't conquer it, it definitely is going to conquer us. So welcome to the KBOO Airwaves in a membership drive and in membership drive time zone, Thomas Schreiber, John Bartley. And let's continue talking about how an average person who can take steps to protect their online privacy.
Thank you, Chris. John Bartlett from Free Geek here. This is a problem that we have faced before, some 240 years ago, when my great-great-great-great-greats were organizing the committees of correspondence. And be a minute person today. Support your local crypto expert, support KBOO, and support Free Geek, place where you can learn these technologies for free at freegeek.org, 1731 Southeast 10th Avenue, right here in Portland. Cryptology is the foundation of the late Aaron Schwartz's last project, SecureDrop. It's used by the New Yorker in their strongbox system for being a whistleblower without exposing yourself needlessly to the authorities that you're blowing the whistle on. And it all relies on open source cryptography which has been mathematically tested to be invulnerable, assuming you use it properly, to the NSA. And the NSA is on record as saying they don't have enough storage space to save all of the encrypted traffic that they're recording. And the only reason they're saving everything is they can't decrypt it yet. Think about that for a minute. They're asking for more storage. They're saying they need another mega center like the one in Utah because they can't store everything. And if they could zero in and decrypt the data, well, they'd be easily able to sort out Aunt Minnie's secret pecan pie recipe from your revolutionary manifesto. And if that was the case, they'd discriminate. They'd only save what they needed to. If they're calling for more storage, there's a reason. That's that they can't crack quality encryption.
John, that's something to you actually put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's something to think about. And all of this is part of being a true citizen of a citoyen du monde. Being part of a world in which distance no longer exists, only time, really, the time in which it takes for a message to reach from here to, say, Taiwan, where Richard Stallman is, the time it takes for the NSA to decrypt messages regarding pecan pie. Secure Drop really did change the cyber landscape. But let's talk about, I want to go back and return to Thomas Schreiber and the crypto parties and how what we just heard might influence one to be part of that, to attend a crypto party, learn more about encryption and decryption, why decryption is a whole lot harder than encrypting a message. Thomas, can you talk a little bit about some of the material covered at a crypto party?
Yeah, what we aim to do with our crypto parties is to create a free and safe Skillshare where people can come and learn about all the different technologies that are available to help them secure their privacy at whatever level they feel comfortable. We obviously don't want to like have people set up giant tanks or prisons that they put themselves in where they can barely get messages out and everything's secret. We want to try to find a balance where people can feel comfortable and secure knowing what information they're giving out there and what information other people are able to see. So we go over lots of tools like the Tor project that I mentioned earlier, email encryption.
Hang on a second. I've just blew right past the moment. We are perhaps ought to have paused back there at a reasonable point. We went way back past it. Now we're in unreasonable land. But that's okay because that's where we're comfortable. Hang on. Hold that thought, please. I want to talk more about that in just a moment. Right now, it's important to talk to other volunteers, friends in the membership room right now to see how we're doing. We've got a goal to reach during this program, and we know that you're there to help us reach that goal.
That's right. 503. No, that's wrong. 1-877-500-5266. That's toll free to help us out, to support KBOO, to support the news and public affairs, to support special shows like this that goes into internet security. We even got for $150 contribution to KBOO, you can get a crypto party for you and five of your friends hosted by Thomas Schreiber. This will be in the Portland area. Thomas will explain how to install open source security software and help you install the Tor browser for anonymous internet browsing, GPG encryption for your email, and ways to protect your passwords and secure data online. And that's all for $150 contribution to KBOO, which you can make by calling 877-500-5266. That's toll free.
And
1-877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Larry?
Yeah, that's right. And I'd like to give a big thanks right now to Curtis from Northwest Portland, who renewed his membership. Thank you, Curtis. We appreciate all your help. Our goal for this hour is 500, and we're still 300 short. So we encourage you to give us a call, and we would be grateful for any donation you might consider giving us. And you can pay us any way you like, credit card, through your bank account, check, you know, you name it. We'll do it as long as it's still
As long
monetary.
As it's U.S. currency, I guess. So, yeah. But please help us out, because we need... this is community radio. We don't do it without your support, without you stepping in and doing your part. All our the people who put the show on are volunteers. Me and Larry are volunteers. We've got other people answering phones that are volunteers. We've got the engineer is a volunteer. Chris Andre comes in every day practically to do news stuff, and she's a volunteer. We do it because we love radio, and we want to get the news out to you, the information that to help you with your life. So now's your chance to help us pay it back to us. 1-877-500-5266.
Or our website, kboo.fm. That number again is 877-500-5266. Please consider giving us a call. Thank you. Okay.
And we're going to go back to the show.
Raising money this way is very, very similar to open source, to the free software movement. This is indeed the free radio movement. We've been doing it for over 40 years. The rest of the culture and society is just beginning to catch up. This is how. In the future, there are no jobs. Forget jobs. Employment as we knew it is gone. It's over. there are going to be new ways, new amazing strategies for earning a better living than we've had before. It's not so much about the quantity of stuff. It's the quality of the lives that we lead. This is part of it. Protecting your privacy is part of it. Supporting free radio is part of it. This is all so far ahead of the rest of society. Very often it's difficult for people to understand what we do or how we do it. And the best way to figure that out is simply to jump in and become a part of it. And one way, you be a member of KABU. Another way, go to a crypto party. Learn how to protect your own privacy, because you protect your privacy, you protect your neighbors and your neighbors' neighbors, and the many, many concentric circles rippling out across the world. So, Thomas, talk a bit more about the crypto parties.
Sure. So, like I was saying, we go through these different tools. We both do presentations and one-on-one, and we try to get everyone set up. So by the end of the crypto party, you should be sending encrypted mail. You should be able to get a Tor browser set up. But more importantly than any of those specific tools, you should have a better understanding of how your privacy could be invaded and how you can protect yourself. So that way you know when you're entering into a new web service, you know what pieces of your privacy you're giving up in order to use that.
I have a quick question. Recently, trailing around, I ran across burner phones, and I read about that, and I wondered how secure are burner phones. And you buy one of those things, somebody's got your information. They say that they toss it out, but how do I know that they don't sell it?
Yeah, so whenever you're entering in any information like that, who knows what's happening with it? I don't actually know the specific law on those types of phones, but more importantly, on the phone itself, there's other data that might not be connected with your name. They can track. They can use the cell service to triangulate where that phone is at. They will know all the phone numbers that were called on it and all the other metadata that has to do with that. The only thing they won't know about you on that point is your name and your address. But if your phone is constantly at one specific address, then they can probably pick that up as well. And then it's just looking at your mail, and then they'll know exactly who you were anyway. So I wouldn't say that was a very secure way. Any type of messaging over Tor would probably be much more secure if you wanted to have a more anonymous conversation where people wouldn't be able to read that, or if you wanted to hide the content of your messages, then using PGP to encrypt your messages would probably be your best bet.
I love PGP. Has been around for a long time. Pretty good privacy. The people who built that are extraordinary individuals, and you know what? They had fun building PGP. They had fun doing it. They took huge delight in what they were up to. So let's talk a bit about something. I wanted to ask you the core infrastructure initiative, which has just emerged in the aftermath of the Heartbleed bug, and what either one of you think about that, whether that compromises security or whether that provides funding so that security can be tightened and constantly upgraded.
If I could speak to that briefly, Chris.
Please do. This is John?
Yes. And the point is, CII will take money from major corporates in the internet and disperse that to existing developers. They're not going to be developing the software, these corporates. They're going to be funding people who have a track record of developing good software. And with $1.3 million a year for 3 years, they could pay for 16 more Linus Torvalds, plus an administrator and a secretary or an administrative assistant to keep the wheels of quality open source software turning. I look at this as a good thing.
Well, there are still questions I think do remain. It is a good thing. And again, this is a way of funding an endeavor which at its very foundation is about justice. At this point, we've got to go one more time, just one more time, I promise, back to Membership Room. And Membership Room is a really great place. You can come down and be part of it yourself. You can come. We welcome you. We don't do open house with Booby the Dinosaur. We don't do that once or twice a year. We're open house 24/7. We have been for a very, very long time. You can come down here and learn how to make radio with your bare hands. And we're going to go talk about that. And right now, this is a really great time to write down that number. If you have a question for Thomas Schreiber or John Bartley of Free Geek, now's the time to get your question lined up. Write that number down. It's 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Not the same as membership. Matt, we've got skilled experts standing by to tell you that number too, which of course is 877-500-5266. It's not going away. It'll still be as an eidetic image. It'll still be floating there in your mind long after we go off the air. Now's the time. We are on the air right now. So are you, listeners. So are you. So is your support. When you hear the radio, you're hearing your support at work. Now back to the membership room. This is the final and last membership break. I want to personally thank you for anteing up. Members who have contributed to this show know that your money is working hard to keep the internet free and basically safe for freedom, I guess. Yep, Larry Andrews and Ralph out there. How are we doing?
Hey, Chris, we're here, and yes, we're happy to be here. And yeah, that number is 877-500-5266. We think this is a great program, and KABU is a great resource for the city of Portland. And
for the beyond Portland, too. So yeah, 877-500-5266. Make that call. Contribute some money. We need your support. You can do it easily. We can do credit card. We can just send us the money. We can set you up where it comes off painlessly, like $5 or $6 or whatever you decide. But it only happens. You've got to make this decision.
We're very flexible about that. You can pay any way you like.
Yeah. But it has to start with 877-500-5266. Call that number toll free and make your contribution of support for this nonprofit community. People owned radio station.
Thank you so much. Okay. Hey,
yeah, and if you make a pledge of $150, you can get a crypto party hosted by Thomas Schreiber. The party has to be in the Portland area, but you can do that. And Thomas will explain how to install open source security software to help you install the Tor browser for anonymous internet browsing, GPG encryption for your email, and ways to protect your passwords and secure data online. That's $150 for a crypto party. Also, you could get our flash drive, $75 donation for this flash drive, which has many lectures, speeches, talks, panels, things like recorded information there, fascinating stuff, including
an internet security toolkit, which would be the real, and which has the Tor browser and everything on it. So, but it only happens, these are just little gifts. The main thing you're doing is you're knowing that you're doing your part to keep this radio station going, that this is your radio station.
You're keeping KABU going, and yes, you know, if you care about KABU the way we do.
And we know you do if you're listening to it, so come on. Call us up, 877-500-5266. We need your support.
Is anybody paying you like $100,000 to be here?
No, wait. I didn't hear about that.
Well, that's because I didn't hear about it either. It's just you and I are volunteers. We gave of our own time because we care about KABU. And now, audience, dear audience, we encourage you to do the same by giving us a call and making small donation. Small donations help. We operate on a bare bones budget, and we don't waste a penny. So consider giving us a call, and small amounts help a lot.
877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number. We've got people waiting for your call, and we can do it with your help. If you've been listening to the news and public affairs today, the music we have, all this stuff you're not going to hear on other radio stations. And the reason we're able to do it is we don't have the corporate filter where, you know, somebody is telling the person that's, you know, Chris, oh, you can't do this thing because that'll upset one of our advertisers. Stuff like that does not happen here, and that's why we're able to bring you the stuff, the real news. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. That's toll-free, 877-500-5266, online at kboo.fm. Donate now. Whatever you have that you can contribute, it's a bunch of little people like us, you and everyone, giving our money to keep the real news alive and to give ourselves a voice out there in the media airwaves rather than the voices of the big companies, the Koch brothers, the pharmaceuticals, and all those clowns, Exxon, BP.
So give us a call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266.
Well, we're almost out of time here. I want to thank, first off, I wanted to thank John Bartley enormously for being with us, and give that free geek information, if you would, before we let you go.
I'd be happy to. FreeGeek, FreeGeek.org on the internet, where you can sign up for our free internet security classes, or you can give us a call. I'll give you that number in a moment. We're at 1731 Southeast 10th Avenue, Cross Street Mill in Southeast Portland, and the phone, 503-232-9350.
John, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And of course, FreeGeek right down the road from KBOO, but as distances collapse and time takes over more and more, we could be on Taiwan or in Tigard, and it would all be pretty much the same. Thomas, we've got about 5 minutes left. We've got a few people, I believe, listeners are holding on the line to ask a question. If you don't mind, we'd like to open up the lines. It's 503-231-8187. Gets you to the air room where our terrific engineer board up this evening, Aaron Brindis, will put you on the air. You can ask Thomas Schreiber, host of the Crypto Parties, your question this evening. If you're there, if you're standing by, please do give us a call, 503-231-8187. Call up now. You only got a few minutes left. Thomas, more on the core infrastructure initiative before we have to let you go, before we take a call. How that will ultimately affect going forward, how the average person using the internet, using encryption and decryption, is how that affects them. Is this going to make life easier?
I think overall it will make life easier. From things like the Heartbleed attack, I think that it's only a net positive if software like that is worked on. Important to realize that's not the only software that's out there. There's also a lot of free software, like you heard about earlier, that isn't part of this initiative that we should also support. So when you see campaigns to help fund those other projects, I hope that that folks do as well. Hello?
secretive government had a secret operation, massacring villages, killing millions, secretly bombing an entire nation. They wiretapped a hotel room. They got caught and the government was deposed because of secret documents Daniel Ellsberg exposed. One government came down, and to prevent a repetition of this fact, the next government passed the Freedom of Information Act. Each administration since then hoped it would go away, and then they finally seized the chance on a September day. They passed
it on the airwaves.
Before a single congressman had read it, but don't ask the executive how they interpret it, because that itself is secret, never to be revealed, just like their secret prisons and all the torture sessions they concealed. Then they formed the PRISM program so they wouldn't even have to ask compliant corporations to assist them in the task of collecting information. Every email you ever wrote, every book you ever read, every call you ever made, everything you ever said. I looked into a PRISM. What did I see? A police state looking back at me.